Thank you, Matt, for those songs. It ties real well with the message God's laid on my heart. One of the first Sundays I ever came to life, Lester preached a message on integrity, and it affected me in ways that have impacted my life in ways that it never had before. Just to think about the importance of integrity in our lives. It affects every relationship we have. It affects your relationships with God. It affects your success in your job. It affects your relationship with your wife, your children, the direction of your family, the capacity of you for to minister, and it will affect your eternal destiny. We live in a world where integrity is not very highly valued. People want it, but they don't want to live it. Do you ever go to a one-hour dry cleaner and you ask them when your garments are going to be done and they tell you tomorrow? Well, then why do they call it a one-hour dry cleaner? Read a story of a man who had taken his clothes to a one-hour dry cleaning, expecting to get it back, and they said, well, no, that's just what we call our business, a one-hour dry cleaning. We live in a world where we can say one thing and don't have to live it or even believe it. It doesn't have to line up. Where we can say all the right things, but it doesn't have to be what we live, what we believe. We used to be able to assume that when you meet someone, that's who you are. You get what you see. But we live in a world where sometimes you gotta question whether people are people of integrity or not. You meet someone in the back of your mind, you're thinking, what aren't they telling me, or what aren't I seeing here? And there's questions in the back of our mind, like, what are you hiding? Within a single generation, we've gone from lying being very much unacceptable to finding its place in our White House. And integrity has taken many of our leaders out, many of our fathers out, many young people out. It's taken many people out of the Christian walk. And just because many people are doing it doesn't make it right. Scripture is very clear that lying is wrong. It's not to be a part of the Christian life. And God demands his children be people of integrity, people of honesty, people of reliability. Excuse me. What is integrity? Integrity is an adherence to a code. It's incapable of being bribed or morally corrupted. It's doing the right thing when no one is watching. In Hebrew, it's translated integrity in the Old Testament, condition of being without blemish, completeness, perfection, sincerity, soundness, uprightness, or wholeness. Integrity in the New Testament means honesty, adherence to a pattern of good works. Living by principle, not by situational ethics. Doing the right thing when no one is watching. The verse I'd like to call your attention to this morning is James 5, verse 12. It says, above all things, my brethren, do not swear, neither by heaven or by earth, or by any oath, but let your yes be a simple yes, and your no be a simple no, that ye may not sin or fall under condemnation. And I love the book of James. James is a very practical book. It's a book that has a lot of everyday applications to living, and it's a great book to study for our walk as believers. And in the book of James earlier, it was talking about how we need to prefer one another. He talks about our works. He talks about the tongue. He talks about wisdom. He talks about pride. He talks about patience. And here in chapter 5, verse 12, he says, above all things, above all these things, do not swear, by heaven or earth or by any oath, but you let your yes be yes and your no be no. He says you may be a patient person, you may be a person of wisdom, but if you don't have integrity, if your word can't be trusted, what value is the rest? Above all things, you must be a person of your word, a person of integrity. It talks about swear neither by heaven or by earth. The Jews had developed a complex judicial system where there was tons and tons of loopholes. Now, you're probably familiar with loopholes, where you sign a contract and you think you're going to get something, and then in the fine print, if you read the fine print, there's a loophole there where they can get out of the contract. For example, your electric bill. Maybe you've signed up for an electric company for so many cents for a certain period of time. And lo and behold, they raise your electric rate. Well, if you read the fine print, there is a condition where they can raise your electric bill. So there's loopholes. In the Jewish system, there's tons and tons of loopholes where people were not being truthful with their words. And people would swear by the heavens, by the temple, anything but God. As sure as the temple stands, I will do this. And they were swearing, and they had to convince you that what they were saying is true. And Jesus is saying, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Be a person of integrity, be a person of truth. And that's what Jesus calls us as believers to be, in our integrity, be people of our word. Yes, we're going to have to sign contracts. Yes, you're going to have to go through a lot of paperwork. It's just the way our system is today, living in this world. But as believers, God's called us to be people of integrity, people of our word. In the good old days, your word was your word. You said you were going to do something, and that was sufficient. I remember my dad getting a tractor, and the dealer was a gracious man. He would let you have the tractor, and milk check comes, you just pay him so much money, and it was a deal. Try to do that today. I don't think you'll get very far. Somewhere along the line, the word didn't carry the weight anymore, so it went to a handshake. I'd come up to Sam, and we'd shake hands, and it'd be a deal. Well, after a while, that didn't hold water anymore. Someone left someone down, so they added a little bit more. Maybe a sheep or a goat went along with a handshake. And little by little, we got to where we are today, where because words don't mean a whole lot, there's a lot of red tape. But we need to be people of our word, as good as our word, our commitments. When you commit to someone that you'll do something or be somewhere, can you be trusted? How about your schedules? How about to our employees and our employers? Is our words good? How about our commitment to our wives and husbands and to our children and to the church? We make promises, we need to follow through. Or can people push you beyond what you say is no? Does no mean no, and does yes mean yes? A lot of pressure is put on people today. They say no, or they try to push them further and further and further till they commit and cross the line. Two people I think of when I think of integrity. Of course, of Jesus, the perfect example. After he was baptized, he went to the wilderness for 40 days and fasting and 40 nights. At the end of that time, Satan came to him. At his weakest moment, when he was tired and alone, and tried to break his integrity and get him to fall. I want you to notice when he came to him. He didn't come to him when he was on the mountaintop after a great victory. He came to him when he was alone and when he was tired. When you think about when your temptations come to compromise your integrity, when do they come? When you're alone, when you're tired a lot of times. And we read this story and we say, no big deal. He was God. What's the big deal? But I believe with every temptation, his humanness just screamed out. The first one was, turn these stones to bread. He had just fasted for 40 days. I've never fasted 40 days. I don't know what that's like. But I believe in the humanness of Jesus, every bone in his body was crying out for food. And he would just love to do that. But he said no. And he quoted scripture, hath God not said, it is written. The next one, he took him up to the pinnacle of a temple. And just fall down, Jesus, and your angels will catch you. And again, I believe it was a real temptation. That I don't know what to compare it to, but something that makes you feel really good, that just makes exalt yourself. I don't know what that would be for each of us. But I believe it was a real, real temptation that Jesus faced. Next one was, he showed him the kingdoms of the world. I don't know what it must be like to have all that power, to be the president of the United States, the greatest nation in the world. What it must be like, what it must feel like to have that power, that control. Of course, Jesus was the ruler of the universe. But it was a real temptation for Jesus. Hebrews 4:15 says, Jesus was holy man. This isn't the verse, but he was holy man, holy God. And he says, he faced temptations like we did, yet without sin. That's the definition of integrity to me. He is the only one who was ever perfect, without blame, completely truthful, always doing what is right. And as sinful people, our integrity is flawed. And Jesus is perfect. And as we come to Christ and give our lives to Christ, 2 Peter 1:4, it says, we are partakers of his divine nature when we come to Christ. That's exciting for us as human beings who are flawed, that we can have his nature inside of us to be people of integrity. Next person I thought of was Joseph. Joseph was a man of incredible integrity, incredible commitment to his Lord, to God. Think of Joseph in the face of his brothers and all he faced. Given a coat of many colors, well, you may say, big deal. I have a lot of coats in my closet. What's a coat of many colors? Well, let me frame it this way. How about if all the other brothers got a Ford Focus and you got a Ford Mustang? How would you feel? That puts in a little different picture. Joseph had the Mustang. The other brothers had the Focus. That puts in a little different perspective. Wouldn't you be a little bit envious towards Joseph driving around in a Mustang? Or maybe you don't like Mustangs. You put the car in there you like. But I believe it was a big deal. And Joseph, how do you deal with that? Joseph went out to his brothers. They threw him in a pit. I've never been thrown in a pit by my brothers. The closest thing I've ever had to deal with in that light was we were at our neighbors one time when I was young, and they had a cow shocker. Those of you who know what a stall barn, they have electric shockers up behind the cow's back so that when they arch their back to do their business, they do it in the gutter, they back up. Well, they were lifting me up to touch these shockers for some reason, I don't know why. I remember kicking and screaming and just being very angry at them. As anyone, I think, would be. Luckily, they didn't do it, but they just wanted to scare me. They threw him in the pit. But through that whole experience, it doesn't say anything about him getting angry or bitter or mad at them. Tremendous man of integrity. He went to, they pulled him out of there. They sold him to the Egyptians, took him down to Potiphar's house where Potiphar bought him. The man of incredible integrity that he was went very fast through the ranks in Potiphar's house. And he was given control of everything except to set the king's food. Young man, given that kind of responsibility, I don't know what I would have done in light of all that responsibility. But he was a man of integrity, a man of commitment to his God. You talk about intentional living. And then he faced Potiphar's wife. Now open your Bibles, let's read that account in Genesis 39. Not only did he have the responsibility of everything in the house except the food and Potiphar's wife, he had to deal with this. Verse 39, verse 1. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, the captain of the guard of the Egyptians, brought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in the eyes in his sight. And he served him and made him observer over his house. And all that he had he put into his hands. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer of his house, over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a godly person and well favored. And it came to pass, after those things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said to him, "Lie with me." But he refused. Said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wrought not what is with me in this house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater than I. Neither he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. And it came to pass at this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house wherein. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me," and left his garments in her hand and fled and got out. And I'll stop reading there. I don't know, I probably realize it, but it struck me again what Joseph had to deal with in Potiphar's house. That day after day, that Potiphar's wife was out to get Joseph, to compromise his integrity, to get him to fall into sin. In a land where no one knew him, he was all alone. But he had a commitment to his God. And Joseph passed the test every time. Every time he passed the test. I thought, what would it be like if his shoes were day after day, your integrity was going to be called upon to be strong? You know, you couldn't have a bad day where you're angry at someone or something and you just really don't care, and you don't really care what God thinks, and what's the big deal? But Joseph purposed in his heart that he would not defile or not violate his God or his master. And I believe, brothers and sisters, we're living in a day where we're under tremendous attack to compromise our integrity as people. to compromise our values as followers of Jesus. It affects all of us in different ways. And I was just thinking of some ways that it affects me. You know, those of us who are involved with some trucking, some here more than others. But, you know, there's tremendous push to fudge our logbooks and to not be truthful in our records. And it's a huge challenge. And as people of integrity, how are we going to navigate that? How are we going to do our businesses? Are we going to be people of integrity? Last year we put a bagger in at our business and we bagged salt. And we have on the outside of the bag how much analysis is in each bag of how much salt, how much magnesium, etc. And there's a tremendous temptation to compromise the integrity of what's in that bag. We could back it off to 8%. We could save some money. No one would ever know it. To compromise our integrity as a company. We're faced to compromise our purity as men. It's a huge temptation. We face it in our world today like never before. I have Covenant Eyes on my computer, and their slogan is Guarding Hearts, Protecting Integrity. Never before has sin been so accessible as it is today. Those of you who have smartphones, computers, know what I'm talking about. You know the temptation that's out there. You know what you face when you're on that computer. Our integrity is being challenged. Where sin is socially acceptable. We live in a world where sin is socially acceptable and integrity is not highly valued. We have very many opportunities that we've probably not faced before. I read an article this week of, maybe some of you have seen it, that talking about adultery in Facebook, where you can get on Facebook in the privacy and look up old friends and old lovers and follow them. And it's becoming a huge issue in our world. I was bookmarking a site on my phone. And I saw this little thing that said private. So I wondered what that was, so I looked it up to see what that private was all about. And it said it's a you can push it and it'll keep what you view private. And they gave an example if you're buying a gift for someone who has access to your phone and you don't want them to see where you've been, you can mark it as private and no one will ever see it. It's advertised in that light. It's easier and easier to compromise our integrity. To do things that no one will see right now. And I, as a person, you know, I'm constantly challenged that I need to every day purpose in my heart not to defile, not to compromise my commitment to my God, to my wife, to my family, to my church. We're faced with it every day. I believe we need to get up each day and commit ourselves to God and say, Lord, today I commit myself to you again. And by the aid of your Holy Spirit, as I go today, give me the strength, give me the power to say no, to turn away, to live a different way. Some things I think lead to compromising our integrity. Number one is unforgiveness. When we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, we can compromise our integrity. Bitterness. I had to think of Joseph down in that pit. If he would have given his heart over to bitterness and unforgiveness, and would have acted on those thoughts, it would have led to compromising his integrity and his commitment to his God. Another one is rebellion. I don't care. And I don't care attitude. I don't care what God thinks. I don't care what anyone thinks. I'm going to do things my own way. Another thing is covetousness, wanting something that is not rightfully mine. Covetousness, we face that differently. Each person faces it in a different way. But we all are called to live integrally when it comes to wanting things that are not rightfully ours. And the fifth thing is opportunity. And like I said, we have opportunity, more opportunity now than ever, to compromise our integrity. Integrity is something that, not something you were born with. It's something that is learned over time and experience. It's something that is an individual choice that each of us have to make. What are we going to do with, are we going to be a person of integrity or not? You cannot force someone to accept it or to be a person of integrity. It's something they have to want and to see its value. Being a person of integrity is not something we were born with. And it's something we have to choose and to see the value in it. Some guiding principles to think through as we think about integrity. First one is that you've been bought with a price, that you are a bond servant, a willing servant for the master. And your goal is for you to do the will of the master. I want you to think through these things as we think about integrity and making decisions. We've been bought with a price. We are not our own. We are servants of the master, servants of Jesus Christ. Second thing that establishes the word of God is truth as the basis for our living. May think it's a given, but not in our world today. Some people say it's a good idea, it's an option, but we need to establish it as truth, as our benchmark. Just as each of us probably have a GPS somewhere, in your phone or in your car, it's a point of reference. No matter where you go in this world, it's a point of reference for directions. And the Word of God is our GPS, is the truth, and our guiding beam. Third one is, no matter where you go, God sees and God knows. Psalms 139, a very familiar passage. If I go into the heavens, if I go into the depths of the sea, you know, you see everything. And in this matter of integrity, we may think we may be hiding, but God is watching. God knows and God sees. And the fourth thing is, at the end of our lives, we must give an account to our Heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. How can I build integrity in my life? I want you to think of building integrity in your heart. We're going to build this structure in our heart. And the first is a foundation. A foundation is paramount important to a building. I was just talking to a fellow, a trucker, who was building a grain bin, and it's in Maryland where the water table's pretty high. And he said he was putting pins for the site for this building, for this grain bin, and like he would hammer the pin in and water would splash out. And he was there thinking, how is he going to build a grain bin on this, on a foundation like this? So he said what they're going to do, they're going to take posts and drive them 20 feet down in the ground, and they have an engineered number of posts that they're going to use for this foundation. He don't think it'll work, but he was just doing his job. But a foundation is so important to a building. And our foundation needs to be built on the Word of God. And we need to teach that at a young age. Teach integrity to our children. Teach the truth to our children. Give them a firm foundation to build their lives upon. And that is done by parents. It's done by teachers. It's done by friends. It's important to do it when they're young. That a person's values are based on this teaching of what is right and what is wrong. Now I'm going to put the roof on next. If you've ever seen a grain bin being built, you put the foundation down, then you put the roof on. And then you build the walls from there. And I think the roof is so important that you give them the armor of God in Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18. You give them a protection to protect this foundation as they go through life, that you give them the armor of God. You teach them about the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate. You teach them, you give them the armor and help them to understand how to use it, to help them to fight and withstand the assaults of the enemy so that this building is not easily moved or destroyed. Then you put the framework, and in that framework, of course, you put windows. And windows allows for transparency, so people can see in to see who you really are. And it's important to be transparent in our lives, that we're not hiding things. It serves as checks and balances and allows people to speak into our lives. And the fourth thing is we put doors in this structure to allow people to come in and to encourage us, to speak into our lives, to point us in good directions. But also doors keeps people out and to keep the wrong friends out of our hearts from allowing them to impact our lives. So it's important as we build this structure to have it on a firm foundation, to have a roof that is going to protect against the assaults of this building. To have a framework that's strong with windows for transparency and have doors that allow people to come in and speak into our hearts. Integrity begins and continues as a personal decision to stand firm on the principles of the Word of God. And it's so important, the Word of God as our foundation. Integrity will suffer consequences instead of compromise itself. There may be suffering because you stood, but far more reaching, devastating in compromise. You may take a stand and have to suffer consequences for standing for the truth, but it's not as great as the devastation or the fallout from the compromise. Think about that. The choices we make sometimes bring devastating consequences that are devastating compared to what we would suffer for standing for truth, which will be rewarded in the end. Integrity will set you apart from a great number of people who have chosen a life of compromise. You may have to stand alone. You will stand alone. Not you might have to. You will stand alone. On occasion, it will make people around you feel uncomfortable because of their guilt. And they may call you a goody-goody, or you never want to have fun, or can't you give a little? And you know what they say. It may put you in a tight situation that appears to be needlessly difficult. But they may say, just go along with us. Integrity will ask you to make some tough decisions, and you will not be going along with the crowd. Integrity will not allow for decisions that compromise the truth of God's Word. It will not be easy. Give in to peers simply because everyone is doing it. Integrity is a way of life. So it's not a one-time thing. Living a life of integrity is a lifetime of decisions for what is right. So what's the big deal anyway? Why is individual integrity such an important issue? Why does it matter? Why do you care about your individual integrity? Well, number one is commanded. Ephesians 4:25 says, putting away lying, speaking every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And that goes against our I society, where it's all about me, where what I do doesn't matter to you. The scripture says, when he saves us, he saves us into the body of Christ. So we're a part of a body. We're part of each other. And what I do affects you. It's hard to imagine, but a bad choice I make affects the body of Christ. It affects you as my brothers and sisters. And we are members one of another. And lying and dishonesty is actually what compromising in integrity. Lying and dishonesty is like a cancer that destroys the body. And when we think about when we come to Christ, our old man has been nailed to the cross and with his deeds. And we're raised to walk in newness of life. And this new life does not include deeds of the old body, walking in darkness. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. So not only will it affect the local church, it associates us with the devil. Being involved in works of the darkness is associating ourselves with the devil. So why is it so important? Because doing these things destroys our integrity. It compromises our integrity as believers. Lying, deceiving, and not following through with our commitments. Our works of darkness. It's associating with Satan. So we need to check our hearts. Check our hearts to see what is in our hearts. Satan is the father of lies. And if we find ourselves continually in a pattern of compromising our integrity, of finding ourselves in that situation, it's a check to see who we are following. So the question is, how do we change? What can I do to change my life or change the direction of my life so that I am a person of integrity? Number one, we must examine our hearts. Ask God to examine our hearts and to show us what is questionable. Psalms 26, verse 2 says, test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind to see if there is any questionable character in my heart. It's something we need to ask God to search our hearts and to know what's in there. We need to study the Word of God so we know what is true. It's hard to know what integral life is if we don't know what the Word of God says. And so we need to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of God. And that comes through study. Studying the Word of God. Making application to our lives. To read, to study, and apply. Read, study, and apply. And the third one is apply to the Word of God to your daily life. Psalms 15, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, who may abide in me, thy tent. Who may dwell on thy holy hill, he who walks in integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. After we study and we read, it's time to apply. and to apply it to our daily life. Apply it to the situations we face where our integrity is being tested to compromise. James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." A high value. It's higher than riches, higher than fame. You're going to be called upon to make decisions that's not going to be popular and it's not going to get you rich. It's not going to make you wealthy here in this life. The Proverbs 19 verse 1 says, "Better is a poor man who walks in integrity than he preserves his speech and is a fool." Proverbs 28 verse 6 says, "Better is a poor who walks in integrity than he who is crooked, though he may be rich." In 1996, a couple went on a honeymoon, and they left a pack of money on top of their vehicle. This was in the Chicago newspaper, of $12,000. A homeless man found it, and he was out of work, didn't have a job, didn't have a house. And he could use $12,000 pretty easily, but he turned it in, and he became a citywide known man for his integrity of not keeping this money. It was cash. He could have just took it. But he kept it. He turned the money in, and people offered him jobs. They offered him, a lot of things. But the one job they offered him, it would have been a managerial position. And he said, "I honestly can't accept that because I'm not qualified." And they began to study this man's life and to see if this guy was really legit. And as they studied his life, he had found money in the past and had given it back to those who had lost it. And they realized this man is a man of integrity. Incredible story in our world where integrity is not highly valued. When someone is recognized for their integrity, or when they do integral things, then get recognized, that people really make a big deal about it. In closing, there's four things that integrity provides for me, for us as believers. It provides me protection, less fear. Psalms 25:21, "May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you." Protection. We don't need to be looking over our backs. When we say what we mean and mean what we say, we don't need to be worried about our words coming back to get us, to haunt us. Mark Twain said, "Speaking honestly is better. It takes a lot of stress out of our lives." When you don't have to try to cover up your tracks, it's a protection to you. Second thing, integrity provides a security, me with security, a greater confidence. In Proverbs 10, verse 9, "The man who of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out." Again, the idea of not having to cover your back, not having to always be watching out and see who's watching. You may not be the richest person or the most famous person, but you'll be able to walk securely, and you have protection. Third thing, integrity provides me with guidance, better decisions. Proverbs 11, verse 3 says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by the duplicacy." In our society where there are no absolutes, where I can do what I want, I can live a double standard, a lot of times it comes back to bite them. They get found out. Integrity provides me with a better guidance system. And the fourth thing, integrity provides me with hope of future rewards. Job 4 verse 6 says, "Is not your fear of God your confidence, the integrity of your ways, your hope. In our society today, people have lost the fear of God. They no longer care what God thinks. I'm going to use the illustration. Bethany said from work, a girl was excited about moving into a house. And she said, I know we're living in sin, but she said, I forget what the exact words was, but she knew that she was living in sin but didn't care. There was no fear of God before their eyes. And the integrity of our way is our hope. God's called us to be integral people, to live truth, to live based on the Word of God. And as we do that, there's hope, there's confidence that it will lead us to heaven, that one day we'll be together in heaven. Now when you stand before God, that you will not be ashamed. You can stand before God with a clear conscience and a clear heart. Not having to look over your back or wonder if you're going to be found out. But as we live as integral people, it provides us with hope for the future. God expects us as His children to be people of integrity. People that stand on the Word of God. I don't know what you're facing. I know what I face and how my integrity is a lot of times I'm faced with decisions. What am I going to do in different areas? And we can't fight this battle alone. We can't fight it on our own strength. It has to come through the power of the Holy Spirit. And maybe God is speaking to your heart this morning of an area where, I love that song you led this morning of surrendering to Jesus. Maybe there's an area that God's calling you to surrender to Him, that you've been compromising, and God's speaking to our hearts this morning. We can't do this on our own. We can't face this battle to live integral on our own strength. It just won't happen. If you're feeling God calling, speaking to your heart this morning, I invite you to, as we pray, if you want to come forward and pray around the cross, if you want someone to pray with you, we'll pray with you. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, I invite you to come up front this morning and spend some time praying. Like Matt said, we can change. You can change this morning. You can give it to God this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. God, You've given us the roadmap, the foundation to build our lives on. And God, today in our world, there's so much pressure to compromise and to not stand for truth. Whether it's morally or in our speech or in our actions or in our business dealings, or it's just a tremendous pull to compromise. And so, Lord, I pray for each person here in whatever they're dealing with, whatever they're going through. Lord, You know each of our hearts. And You know the struggles in our hearts. We're not hiding anything from You. God, You know all and You care. And Lord, if there's someone here struggling this morning, I just lift them up to You. I ask You to continue to be merciful and long-suffering, continue to draw us in areas You're calling us to surrender, surrendering our will to Your will. And Lord, we thank You for what You are doing in our lives and the people You want us to be. Lord, it's not a battle we can do on our own. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can have victory. And we claim that in the name of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.